Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Good morning, Portland, Oregon, and the great Pacific Northwest. You're listening to Investing Simplified, the longest-running financial show with an estate planning attorney, a CPA, and a financial advisor to answer your questions live on the air. And as all of our regular listeners know, in studio with me today is Kevin Steggy, Baker Colson CPA firm.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Kevin. And Carl's going to probably call in or take the day off. So anyway, we've got an exciting show today. I just want you to buckle up because we're gonna cover a lot of stuff in an hour, and we like to call it the fastest hour on radio, right, Kevin?
That's right.
And today is going to be a very fast day. For you people who listen to our show regularly, we either on the third Saturday of the month we try to have somebody from Dent Research. We either have Harry Dent, the economist, or Arthur, or we have his co-editor. Of the free newsletter Economy and Markets Daily that we've talked about on our show virtually every week for the last, I don't know, 10 years, I think. So anyway, we do want to say we got Rodney Johnson on today. Rodney's also a author. He has a book called Irrational Economics. And boy, talk about irrational economics. We've had a lot of them. Rodney, welcome to Portland, Oregon via the radio.
Morning, Chuck. Thank you.
Well, listen, tell us how the Irrational Economic Summit went.
It went great because, of course, it started with Richard Thaler winning a Nobel Prize in economics, basically for saying the same things we do, which is that people don't make decisions like economists think they do. I mean, if we did, when the Fed lowered interest rates to zero, all of us were supposed to take everything out of savings and go spend it, which we didn't. And we were all supposed to go out and borrow every nickel we could possibly get our hands on because borrowing costs were so low. And we didn't. And so we were, you know, kind of preaching to the choir as we have for many years now with rational economics. But we turned it some this year to focus not as much on, you know, the low growth environment, which we all recognize. I mean, GDP growth has been at or under 2% for a long time, but more the outside the box opportunities that are there. I mean, there's some really interesting things going on around the world. Underwater mining for minerals, you know, when you think of 70% of the world being covered with water and everything you find on land is underwater. And there was a guy there talking about space exploration, Steve Sanford, and just a number of things that you would think of as kind of more long-term opportunities. It was a good conference.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, with the way the market's been going, with the Dow and the S&P both up double digits, which it's been a while since that's happened, and the economy looks like it's ready to kick into gear if we can get a new tax bill and get a simplified tax structure, what do you think will happen to the economy?
Okay, now you put me on the Debbie Downer train. We've pointed out for a long time that there are some structural issues that are in the way of strong economic growth. And one of them is we don't have the young set doing the things we did. And the best example, of course, is housing. Existing home sales came out yesterday. It was the first negative year-over-year reading since July of 2016. And we just... The first-time homebuyers just aren't there. And you have to look to housing to kind of get a sense of what's going to happen, because housing tends to be a large percentage, you know, 3 to 4% of GDP. And right now it's running under 3, and it has for a long time, because we're just not selling that many homes because the young set can't afford them. And that goes all the way back to the Federal Reserve printing so much money. They basically allowed us to inflate the cost of many assets, stocks being one of them, bonds being another, yields are low, prices are high, and housing, real assets. And so with prices running so far ahead of incomes, you're just not going to get activity. And without activity, you're not going to get GDP growth. And so the tax plan, Chuck, I'm always happy to pay less in taxes, but it's not because I think we're doing the right thing with the deficit and other things, because we're not. It's because I think we spend the money in wrong ways. So I look at the tax plan and think, you know what? This is not going to fix our long-term structural issues.
No, I am always amazed of how the government, no matter who's in charge, the House and the Senate and the President refuse to cut spending.
Right, and you know, there's a lie in there, and it's something that I really wish we would break apart the unified budget. You know, Lyndon Johnson put Social Security, before Medicare existed, put Social Security under the budget so that all that money coming in through FICA taxes would look like it was going to the general budget, which, of course, it doesn't. I wish we would break those apart, because people so often say, well, you know, Congress only controls 30%. It's like, yeah, I know that. That's also the 30% they get to raise taxes for, called federal income tax and all the excise and everything that goes into it with, you know, inheritance tax and stuff. And so if we could separate out Social Security and Medicare and say, you know what, look at this funding for these programs. Yes, it is underfunded, and it will not last long term, but it has its own set of issues paid for with FICA. Now let's look over here at what remains, which is truly the federal budget controlled by Congress. They're not doing their job. That is underfunded. Yesterday, it was announced that our budget for last fiscal year that just ended September 30 was $666 billion. $666 billion, 3.5% of GDP. They're not doing their job. It's obvious.
Well, you know, the other thing that Lyndon Johnson did, we're going to go back to history and talk about social insecurity, as I call it. That's when the government started using that money to fund a thing called the Vietnam War. We also, every president since Lyndon Johnson has dipped into the so-called Social Security funds. And the last time they reported, and I haven't seen one for a couple of years now, I think it's been about 5 years, I haven't seen a report, but last time I saw, there was about a $4 trillion IOU from the United States government on funds that they used out of the so-called Social Security Trust Fund that really doesn't have any money in it. So I'm not sure how the federal government's ever going to do that, because that thing is so deep underwater. Without some real fundamental changes, there's going to be problems down the road. But I really don't think we're ever going to cut that, because I think if they did, we would have a civil war.
Well, and it's so difficult to cut entitlements. And you know, if you look at how we fund Social Security with the payroll tax, and we have a cap on the amount of income that is taxed for Social Security. Our view for many years has been that as we get closer and closer to the point at which Social Security has no money left, which is 2032, 2033, which sounds like a long way, but we're talking 15, 16 years. I mean, we're closer to Social Security running out of money than we are to the year 2000.
Well,
and so it gets close. And,
yeah.
And I think what we're going to do is means test. I mean, the first question is, does Warren Buffett, you know, and does Warren Buffett need Social Security? You know, and he doesn't claim it, by the way, but does he need it? And the answer is no. And it's like, well, if a billionaire doesn't, then where do you draw the line? And so we start going through the ugly process of recognizing it as a welfare program for the elderly, as opposed to a forced retirement savings program. Very different things.
Well, hopefully Warren Buffett is taking his Social Security and donating it back to the national debt. Because at 70, you have to take it, and or else it just goes away. So I think it'd be better if he took it and then gave it back in the form to help the national debt. But there's a lot of very wealthy people that do that, by the way, give the money back because they don't need it.
Right. There is a form that anyone can fill out to donate money to the U.S. Treasury.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't happen very often, but the form does exist.
Yeah. And I kind of wish a lot of these people would. It would help all the rest of us. well, last year, and I hate it not being able to go this year. I had a conflict, and it really was disappointing. But last year, we had one of the most exciting meetings I had ever been at. And I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I meant to write it down, but I didn't. But the guy from England that Harry and him talked in a room, we talked about the fact that we could potentially have a civil war in this country.
Andy Pacioli.
Yeah. That guy was just dynamite.
Harry and Andy have co-written a book that comes out, I believe, in 2 weeks. There was a couple of titles floating around. I can't put my finger on the title, but if you just, search for Harry Dent and new books, you'll find it, because it is, as I said, it's coming out the middle of November. And Andy's work is all about cycles. He's a very interesting man who looks for, of course, cycles, repetition and history, not only on the financial side, numerical things, but also geopolitical things. And so looking at long-term cycles, which have always fascinated Harry Dent as well. It's one of his, the main premises of his work is that we go through these predictable cycles in spending. But they have looked at some cycles that show a greater preponderance of civil unrest over an 18 to 36-year cycle. And so it would say that we're kind of at a point where things are difficult. Now the great part about our work and what Harry Dent started 30 years ago is you look at a cycle and that's one thing, but you have to recognize, is anything driving it, or is it just a series of coincidences, which can happen. And so we look through it to ask, is there an identifiable reason for some of these things? And through Dent research and the consumer spending patterns, we're able to see that when you go through low times, in terms of wages and growth, you end up with greater inequality. And that, of course, foments unrest within societies because people look around and go, gee, you have more than I do. And so look around, right? And here we have some civil unrest that's been kind of growing really since the downturn in 2007-08. And people are upset, and they're looking at the greatest time of income inequality in U.S. history going back to the 20s and arguably before that. And so they're asking, why is it this way, and what can we do about it? And it looks like it's kind of set to roll into the public face. And this is what's driving the move to secession in Spain, where the Catalans want to leave Spain. It's because Catalonia is the richest section with Barcelona, and they're saying, look, we pay so much into the national treasury of Spain, we don't get that much back. Well, guess what? The Flanders are saying the same thing, and the Lombards up in Italy, that includes Milan, they're saying the same thing. And so you're seeing these secessionist movements that are all based on what's happening with cash, and the backlash is going to be, you're rich, we want that money. And so
what about California that keeps voting to succeed the union?
Well, and there again, I mean, yeah. To their point, I mean, there's a lot wrapped up in that politically, but if you step away from the politics and look at the numbers, California pays more into the federal government than they get back. But the argument from that is, well, then where does it stop? Does California, and of course they're not going to secede, we kind of proved that that is not allowed back in 1861, 1865, but if you look at them and say, well, you want to secede, well, okay, does San Francisco then secede from, the northern section, and does L.A. step away from the southern section, and does, Long Beach and the other port areas down there step away from, the section right around them? Does Newport Beach kind of pull out? And then is it a neighborhood? neighborhood? Is it a building? And so you end up with this thing of, wait a second, at what point are you a community of similar culture, outlook, relying on each other, not only for cohesion, but also security? We all forget that part. The reason the Catalans are, you know, even contemplating this is because they feel so secure that no one would come and take them over, that they can go do this without any thought whatsoever to a military budget, which, of course, they don't have.
Yeah, and I think it'd be a little hard for them to put one together.
Yeah, and they won't, right? Their view would be, you know, well, that sort of thing is over. It's the famous last words of, you know, this time is different. It's like, well, yeah, right.
Hey, Rodney, I got a caller. Lee's got a question for you. So, Lee, are you there?
I am.
Lee, go ahead and ask Rodney your question.
Thanks. And I have asked this once before, Rodney. I've listened to this show for a long time, and I'm always impressed by Chuck and Kevin's, and I can't remember the attorney's name knowledge, but you are one smart Jose, it seems like.
Thank
so
you.
I asked this once before, and I took some notes, but I can't read my own handwriting. I work in a business where there's a lot of young people, and they have this very cynical view. You were talking a little while ago about, well, we're not seeing an increase in housing starts, and so that can drive the economy. You guys are always talking demographics. And their view is that we're just kind of lemmings chasing ourselves into the sea, because in order for times to continue to be good, you need more consumption. Businesses need to make more money, and you need to do more housing, which means more use of resources, which means more pollution on the planet, which, you know, and it goes on and on and on. And they're wondering, what's a way that we could all live where we don't seem to just be heading for, as an example, whether it's caused by humans or its natural cycles. The planet seems to be heating up. We're setting heat records all over the place. And they're going, what do we do to stop this? And what's a rational way to live? And so I'm wondering, you have just a massive amount of economic information, but have you ever sat down and thought, what do we really need to do in order to continue on this planet? We'll probably be fine in our lifetime, but I sure feel sad for people's young kids right now. So have you ever thought about that? Do you have any solutions?
Now, wait a second, Lee. I think you're just testing me. I think you wrote down the answer before. Now you're going to see if I'm going to say
No, no, I have not.
We're going to double check you, Rodney. I got it taped.
I will tell. Okay. And you know what, Lee? I'm glad you asked that question. And if I knew where you lived, I'd send you $5. Because at the Irrational Economic Summit we just had, my main stage presentation was about the energy puzzle. And, you know, global warming, right? Are we doing something to you know, increase the heat on the planet? Well, you know what? You got 7 billion people burning stuff. Kind of makes some sense. What hasn't made sense to me yet is the steps we've talked about to limit it, which are wild changes in GDP and movement of assets that don't really seem to have much an effect that anybody can you know, reasonably say will happen. And so the question is, so what do you do? Now, in my world, going back to my presentation, some of it's taking care of itself. Not some of it, a lot. Let's go back and ask what started this change, and is the Industrial Revolution, and you start, you know, burning fossil fuels and all these things. That is a short period of geological time. You know, 150 years of things going on. 150 years is a blink of an eye when it comes to geology. And so here we are as a population, and we're asking ourselves, what can we do, when at the same time we're already moving toward disaggregated power? And that is the key. And disaggregated power is just a fancy way of saying batteries. I was thrilled out of my mind when Toyota announced last summer that they have developed a solid-state lithium-ion batteries. And lithium-ion is what's in, you know, your laptop and your cell phone and your Tesla car, if you drive one. They're cool, but they kind of tend to blow up because they develop dendrites and other things. That's not really that important. They can't be charged quickly, and they're power is limited. Solid-state, as opposed to kind of a liquid or gel, dramatically increases the amount of power that it can hold. It's smaller, and it charges in about 15 minutes. And so we're on the cusp of being able to do things like put Tesla's, you know, Powerwall, which is a big box of batteries that you can put downstairs in your garage that can store solar energy or even just energy that's produced off peak, and then power your home when you're there and you want to run the air conditioning and other stuff. We're at the cusp of that battery that goes in the new Toyota. They say it's going to be out in 2020, 2022. You can charge it somewhere like your office. And then you can come home and plug it into your power wall, and it actually puts power from your car back to the wall. Once we get away from the fact that we have to have these huge electric generation plants, not just generating power, which we're still going to need, and we can move toward natural gas, which is much better for all of us, but we don't have to have these peaking plants, which are the real problem, where we're all pulling on power at the same time at, you know, 5:30 in the afternoon when we get home and it's hot and we turn on our air conditioning. Once we can disaggregate that, we're putting power back into our individual hands, and we're moving it to neighborhoods. We can store energy in small spaces, be it our car, our pocket, our neighborhood, whatever, and it dramatically changes power generation, how much we have to do to move our lives forward. And it will change internal combustion engines. We are not getting rid of cars tomorrow. I certainly don't think that. But in 15 years, things are going to be so different. If Toyota can make this happen, you have a major car company that makes, you know, Tesla produces, what, 50,000 cars a year, and they're lucky to get that done. Toyota sells millions. If you can get everyday car companies producing these things at a reasonable price, we will change the face of the planet, and we'll do it without any of these huge plans that people have been talking about for, you know, carbon limiting and switching around GDP among nations and stuff. And I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's already happening.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Lee, thank you very much. Rodney,
thank you
very much. We're really happy to have you join us. Look forward to talking to you, you or Harry, next month. I've got a really hectic show today, so I gotta cut it off here. And Rodney, thank you very much for being on our show today.
Thank you, Chuck. Have a great weekend.
You bet. You too. Well, listen, folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about asset lock. And I want you to hold this down, because November 30th, 7 o'clock at the Holiday Inn. 8439 Northeast Columbia Boulevard. I'm going to have Mr. Jason Jenkins, the person who designed and invented the asset lock program. And asset lock is going to be to the investor what life lock is to the credit card holder. So we're going to come right back and talk live on the air with Jason Jenkins about asset lock. And if you haven't went to the website and looked at it, go to assetlock.com. We'll be right back with our guest, Jason Jenkins.
Price Financial Group, wealth management.
How often do you have a checkup? Annually? Only when you're not feeling your best? Or are you one who waits until there is an emergency condition? High blood pressure, rapid pulse, or sleepless nights could be the result of your investment portfolio or no estate plan. But there is a specialist ready to offer you a checkup on your financial health.
Hey, Gene, Dr. Price. Hey, Gene, Dr. Price.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor and author of Investing Simplified, is offering you a free financial checkup. Whether you're asking for a second opinion, a complete financial physical, or investment stress test, Chuck Price, the financial doctor, can help diagnose your money ailments and prescribe a prudent path towards healthy investments and peace of mind. Call 503-253-3000 to schedule your financial checkup, or on the web at pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. You'll feel better.
This is our Spotlight on Business, where we bring you an expert on the latest in the financial world, from residential real estate to commercial property or to property tax relief. Buying or selling a business or residential property financing? Get your answers here. Now, here is our special guest.
We've got Jason Jenkins. Jason, are you on the line?
Yeah, I'm right here, Chuck. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm great. Welcome to Portland, Oregon via the phone line. I'm assuming you're in beautiful Denver, Colorado.
Yes, over here in Denver, Colorado, and it couldn't be a more blessed day. It's absolutely beautiful. So hopefully it is there in Portland, Oregon as well.
Well, it's a typical Portland winter day called rain, the Portland rain. So we'll probably have rain most of the day. But listen, I am just extremely excited. You and I have scheduled a seminar here in Portland.
Yep.
To introduce Asset Lock to investors. And we've got space for about 300 people on November 30th. And you're going to actually come and present the program. And I am terribly excited about it. I've been telling my clients, I've been telling people on that I meet with to go on the website, and I've been showing them on the website Asset Lock, how it works. So
great.
Let me open it up for you, and you tell us about Asset Lock.
You know, Chuck, well, first of all, I just want to say it's a blessing to be on your show, and I'm super excited to come out there November 30th and share with everybody, you know, what Asset Lock's doing, but more importantly, how it's helping thousands and thousands of investors across our great country basically be a better investor. What Asset Lock does and its simplest moments is it really is this beautiful communication tool that effortlessly sits between their money and their advisor. You know, I've been in this industry now for 20 years, and really, Chuck, where the idea of Asset Lock came from was out of 2008. There was a story that I was, it was October of 2008, which actually was the worst month, I'm sure you remember, in the stock market. It was down 10% right
yes,
before the election.
Yes, I do.
Remember Obama, McCain, and just remember Washington Mutual, Countrywide, all these really, really big companies literally disappearing overnight. And people got really hurt. And there was this one story I want to briefly share with you, which was the genesis behind Asset Lock. And it was this lady. She was a school teacher of 23 years. And she had retired in October of 07, about 1 year. And so she came in and she, you know how you put on educational events? Well, I was doing the same thing. This is actually when I was living in San Diego at the time. And she walked into my office, Chuck, and I could sense that there was something wrong. And she quickly pulled out these statements that she had not opened for months. And she said, Jason, I'm afraid to open these statements. And she said, the last time I looked, all I know is my money kept going down. And as she began to tell me her story, Chuck, she said, Jason, I walked into the bank and I sat down with a financial advisor there. And I shared with him, you know, that I wanted my money to be safe. I didn't need an income from this, but I wanted it to be conservative and, you know, kind of keep up with inflation. Well, this particular advisor put her into, as you know, a variable annuity that have those kind of guarantees. And so all of a sudden, 12 months later, she's finding herself in a different situation. And so got on the phone with the company, and, you know, we found out, so how much did she put in this account? So in October of 07, she had deposited, Chuck, about $525,000. It was October now of 2008. She had about $370,000. And all I know is I found myself, Chuck, on the other side of a table consoling a lady that I just met. And she said, Jason, I don't understand. How did this happen? How did this happen my entire life? And all she kept saying to me, Chuck, was time. How much time and effort. And I know that everybody's listening to this. We all work hard for our money. And that's all that she was saying. It wasn't the dollar amount that was emotional for her. It was the time it took to accumulate that. And the part that really got me, Chuck, and I'm going to say it got me really mad, is that after I explained the situation, I said, so when was the last time that you spoke to your advisor? And this is exactly what she said, Chuck. She says, I haven't called him yet. And I was like, okay, time out. Who should be calling who? That advisor should be proactively calling that client. And Chuck, it was one of those days, I remember what I had for breakfast, what I was wearing and everything, and I said, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to help investors achieve their financial goals. There's got to be a better way to help the advisor help that client. And that was really the genesis behind Asset Lock. And And I'm just so excited, and you know, because AssetLock is doing that. AssetLock is helping the independent advisor like yourself, Chuck, help clients feel better that, hey, I can do this. Because, you see, investing is a different animal. It's more about emotions. You know, like if I was to go hire an Uber, so to say, the product is I need to get from point A to point B. You know, and if that doesn't work out, well, then, you know, I can call another Uber. Or if I want to go get a hamburger, hey, if this isn't to my satisfaction, I can return it. But you see, when it comes to investing, investing is about tomorrow. And none of us know what tomorrow is going to bring. We just don't. So it comes down to trusting the individual that you're working with. And AssetLock helps stand next to that advisor, like yourself, Chuck, and that client and say, guess what? We're going to do this together. We're going to be in a position day one that we're going to set the parameters around this money. And it's just helping clients, like I said, achieve their financial goals. So it sure is a blessing.
Well, I have to tell you, since I had the chance to come to Denver and go through some training with you and get to know you and meet you and actually met your lovely family. And
thank you.
And I got to tell you, I was very impressed, and I've been going back looking at it, and everybody I've talked to that I've met one-on-one, and I've went through and explained to them how AssetLock works for me and for my client in that it allows me to be able to notify them on a regular basis, and it's all done automated, and that way we can stay in communication because we all know the biggest reason the average investor loses money is they buy high and sell low. It's a fact of life. That's why the average there's been reports by Everbank where the average investor over the last 10 and 20 years actually has a negative return because they're not controlling the emotion. And I've been saying on my radio show for years, investing is 85% emotional and 15% logical. And
Richard Thaler just literally won the Nobel Prize this last month around how behavioral economics explains money blunders. That was the title in the USA Today Money section dated October 10th. Literally just won the Nobel Prize. And so everybody knows this, and I've studied it. The challenge is, then how do we create a solution? That's exactly what AssetLock addresses. You see, one of the things, Chuck, and I know you know this from experience, is that, you know, it's very often where a husband and a wife come in and they sit down with you and you're creating this cohesive plan, right? And this plan has got to work for them as a unit. And sometimes, you know, maybe the wife might feel more conservative and the husband wants to be more aggressive. You've had that experience, correct?
Oh, just had it the other day. Yeah.
Yeah. And so how do you help two independent people? Yes, they're married, but two independent people that have a different outlook on how to invest. Well, AssetLock addresses that. It says, here's the great thing. So, you know, obviously it's my wife, Jennifer, that you met. I love my wife, 18 years of marriage, and she's beautiful. But when it comes to risk, I mean, she would take my money, or our money, I apologize, and want to go bury it. I used to come back 30 years where I tend to be a little bit more aggressive. Well, AssetLock allows you to have a percentage that's more conservative. My wife could have hers on her own money, and then I could be more aggressive on mine. And that's how you keep somebody inside a plan. And, you know, that's the cool thing about it is that it's helping that client do that.
Yeah, and I, for myself, because I do have a fair amount of clients, the great thing about AssetLock for me is it gives me an open line of communication to my clients that I've never had before.
Correct. It's impossible. I mean, as an advisor, you know, myself, if you don't have AssetLock, it's impossible for that advisor to efficiently manage their book. And you know that, Chuck, is that, you know, yeah, if I had five clients, maybe, but that's just not the reality. I mean, how does an advisor monitor all the relationships and all their accounts on a daily basis unless you have this kind of a tool? It's literally impossible. And what we have found over the many, many years now of using the tool, that's why it actually helps the advisor do their job better. It fills that gap, and it delivers exactly what the client wants. You know, I say this often, you know, any relationship that we have, Chuck, is there's always expectations. So I'm gonna stick with my beautiful wife, if that's okay. in this story is the other day, I was supposed to go to the grocery store and pick up my son. I thought she was going to go to the grocery store and pick up my son. So guess what? There was an expectation that wasn't met. And this happens in any relationship, right? Friends, business. Well, it especially happens, and it has happened forever, in the investment environment. Somebody sits down with the advisor and says, yes, I like this plan. And yes, looking backwards at these returns, this makes sense. But as they look forward, there is an expectation that's carried into this relationship. And AssetLock, day one, sits down and helps set that expectation so that there's a system in place that says, Mrs. Jones, if your account goes down this much, it is going to flag me, and I'm gonna pick up the phone. We're going to have a conversation. So that's what it's about. And, again, I really applaud you, because everyone who's listening to this right now needs to know a couple things. One, AssetLock is just, you just can't go get it down the street. There's only so many people that we call AssetLock equipped advisors across the country, and Chuck is one of them in your area. But secondly, and this is the most important thing, this is something that, Chuck, you are voluntarily saying, yes, I want to raise my hand so that I can have more transparency and that I can do my fiduciary job that much better. And I just really want to applaud you for that, because, again, I've traveled this country and not all advisors want to do that. And so it speaks volumes of your character. And I just want to say thank you to you here on the air for that, Chuck.
Well, you know, Jason, I appreciate that, and thank you very much. But I can tell you this tool is, the more I use it and the more I see the potential of it, I've been doing this business for 45 years, so I'm a little older than you, and I've been in the business about twice as long. And I can tell you, from a revolutionary standpoint, in my opinion, this is the biggest revolutionary product we've ever had for the registered investment advisor to truly communicate on a needs basis with their clients.
I appreciate that. You know, I built it, you know, and I think one of my passions there so much, Chuck, is that I built this to help people, and that's it, you know? And it truly is. Can I share one more quick story with everybody?
Sure, absolutely.
I was, several years ago, I was doing an event, just like we're going to do for you here in November. And after I was done with the event, you know, there was kind of half the group, you know, had been using the tool for a while, and the other was, you know, new people that were getting introduced to it. And this lady comes up to me, and so I'm 6'4", and I called it the waist hug. I think she was about 4'10", Chuck, and she just comes running in and gives me this waist hug, and I was like, I have no idea who this lady's hugging me, but I'm like, how are you, ma'am? And she's like, I was so excited to meet you, Jason. She goes, I want to tell you my story about how AssetLock is helping me be a better investor. I was like, oh, this is so cool, because, again, this is the highlight for me of what I get to do. And so she says, Jason, my husband passed away 5 years ago. He was an incredible man. He worked really hard. He did all the finances. In fact, he worked so hard, I had the opportunity to stay home and raise our children. And she was so proud of her family. And you could, and she, and through the story, I could hear that her husband suddenly passed away. And so there she was, you know, grieving, but, you know, had responsibilities. And she didn't know really what to do with the money. And so everybody kind of ran at her, right? So kids had an opinion, financial advisors. And she basically, she just kind of anchored, meaning that She just was like, I put my money in CDs because I was scared and I didn't know what to do. And so she goes, I met this advisor and he's got this asset lock tool. And she goes, Jason, I'm so excited to tell you that my asset lock is 10%. And I'm like, that is awesome. But Chuck, here's where it got very, to be honest with you, very emotional for me to see the power of what this tool can do. She said, Jason, the real reason why I'm so appreciative, she said to me, is that I was afraid to make a mistake with the money as I didn't want to dishonor my husband. And I was like, wow. Wow. Like, this tool was, in a way, Chuck, like honoring her husband who had worked all these years to accumulate this and do all these sacrifices. Somebody obviously I will never meet. And that really touched me. And that's one of the stories, you know, that this just isn't some kind of, you know, technology that's, you know, we all have, you know, little apps on our phone or whatnot. I'm like, wow, this is really helping change people's lives. And really cool. And you know, I just wanted to share that story with everybody listening because that's what this tool can do, you know, for them, you know, the investor.
Well, I love the slogan on your website. It says, you earn it, we help protect it. And that's truly what Asset Lock does. It helps you protect your investment, and it gives you an alert when the portfolio goes below a certain level. And it doesn't move the money for you. You still have to do that. But at least you get contacted. And I when I was showing this to somebody the other day, and I asked this person, I said, when's the last time your advisor called you about your portfolio and to make an adjustment or to reposition your portfolio because of market conditions? And the lady looked at me and said, I haven't heard from him in 10 years. honest. And she said, how do I do this? How do I get this? Yep. And, you know, so it's an unbelievable product once somebody understands how it works and what it can do for them. Because she said it would be nice to know what's going on, except when I get my statement at the end of the month and I open it up and I look at it. And she said, I don't have time to go online every day and look at it, and it'd drive me crazy anyway. But she said it would be nice to get a call.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it this way, right? I mean, so, you know, we're on the radio here, and I'm sure somebody's in their car driving right now. I mean, think about this. If you're going on this destination, hey, I'm going to drive from Portland to Denver, and you had no dashboard. So you had no dashboard. You hop in the car. You're going to put your family in the car. You're like, here we go. We're going to Denver, folks. And, you know, let's just see spouses. Well, how much gas do we have? Like, are the tires inflated? Is the oil good? You know what I mean? We have, you know, obviously logical sensories around us all, you know, in other aspects of our lives. It only makes sense for us to do the same thing, you know, when it comes to Asset Lock. And, you know, and I think that's why it's so powerful, is because it's so simple, but it addresses the biggest thing. See, Asset Lock helps the investor stay invested, but it makes sure that they're not doing this, what I call, out of bounds. You know, if I was to poll, Chuck, 100 people in a room and said, I'm going to put two words on the board, moderate conservative portfolio, I'm most likely going to get 100 different responses of what they expect that portfolio to do. Not only in its growth, but potential downside. And so, again, that's why it only makes sense, you know, to put an Asset Lock in. And maybe I should kind of quickly explain that, you know, for everyone on the air. The way that Asset Lock works is day one, and when, you know, you sit down with Chuck, you get the opportunity to identify what I call is your downside threshold. And so let's just say you've got a 10% asset lock. So client comes in with $100,000, and so 10% of 100,000 is 10,000. So minus that makes the asset lock $90,000. And so Chuck, you and I have talked about this. So day one, the client knows that there's this number that you, the advisor, are monitoring on their behalf. And what's super cool is every time it reaches a new high, that floor moves up with it. it moves up with it. It moves up with it. And as you know, Chuck, we communicate directly to the client, you know, via text message and email, congratulations, and hey, we put dividends in there. But the power of that is that the client knows that the path is there. And they also know, Chuck, that there's a system that sits behind you. And I think that's where all of a sudden the hands on the steering wheel kind of let go, and they're like, okay, I don't have to worry as much, you know, and I can go enjoy, if it's retirement or wherever you're at in your financial life, you can enjoy a little bit more resting easy knowing that AssetLock is there monitoring it on behalf of the advisor.
Yeah, and I love the fact that it's all automated, so if I can't have the time, my clients still get notified. They can call me or I can call them, but they get a notification, and so there's a communication from our office about their portfolio.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, correct. Listen, Jason, we're going to have to go, cuz we've got another another guy to talk, but listen, November 30th, we're going to do a presentation on AssetLock, and all of our listeners can go to assetlock.com and look at the website. There's a great video there that explains how the system works, and I would recommend that you go to that site, look at it, and then pick up the phone and call my office and schedule an appointment how AssetLock can help you with your portfolio. And one of the great things is, Jason, we can virtually, AssetLock can be used with virtually any 401k, 403b, or 457 deferred comp.
Yeah, or a TSP plan, so government official. So they can literally put AssetLock pretty much on any account.
Yep.
And by calling you, it's a free service that you provide.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know what? And free's a good price.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good price. Listen, Jason, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you.
All right,
we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified, and we're going to talk to the tax investigator. He's going to tell us what's going on with the tax code, maybe.
Price Financial Group, wealth management.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified, and we have a very short time if you want to call in, maybe not enough time, but Chuck, so I thought I would just try to maybe put AssetLock in layman's terms, or ask you a question in layman's terms. Basically, it sounds to me like this is you get more active management of your investment account without necessarily having to be in or have the funds the large investment to be in an actively managed fund.
Absolutely. It turns your passive portfolio into an active portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
But the cool thing is it's goes directly to you, so you get to make the decision.
Mm-hmm. So what happens when the market has a massive 15% correction, and everyone gets their warning notice, and your phone is now smoking.
Well, yeah, and that's the whole point of it. Hopefully, with the artificial intelligence that they're using and the technology that they're using, hopefully we've warned our clients.
I see.
And had them go to a cash position, mm-hmm. Or step aside so that it doesn't go down 40% or 50%.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's the whole idea, is to avoid the very big dip in the market. You're always going to have, you know, I had somebody say to me, well, what happens on a flash crash? Well, flash crashes happen, you know, once every 25 or 30 years, at least historically. So they don't happen on a regular basis, but, you know, that can happen. Mm-hmm. But what this is going to do over the long haul is it's going to give you the information that before we just weren't able to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's impossible for us to virtually call every one of our clients when the market shifts.
Exactly.
And, you know, and so this actually sends a text message or an email and actually communicates with the clients for us and says, if you have a question about this, pick up the phone and call your advisor,
mm-hmm.
and give Chuck a call.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. And it helps us communicate with them, because what you don't want to do is a client panicking and put themselves in a worse position than they're already in. And that's what happens a lot. You know, I've met clients who totally got out of the market after March 15th of 2000, when the tech bubble popped, because they had everything they owned in technology. Well, it was here today and gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I've looked at portfolios that were worth $1 million that up until from that date, March 15th, 2000, to 2007, went down to $500,000, you know, half their funds. And if you're taking money out and you're retired, that's hard to swallow.
Yeah.
And with this kind of a system, you wouldn't have avoided 100% of it, but you would have avoided the majority of it. And that's the thing right there. You would eliminate the majority of it and live to fight another day.
How about the scenario where somebody is in their 401k in their business and they're mostly invested in their own business, such as an Enron? Would this have...
Well, are you talking about people that buy stock in Enron? Okay.
In their own business,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, most of the companies now, like Microsoft, Intel... they don't allow you to put all your money in company stock. I mean, that's a
anymore.
Pretty stupid thing to do, yeah. And most of those companies have stock options. And we always recommend, if you have the ability to buy stock in addition to your retirement plan, buy the stock outside the retirement plan. Buy some inside the retirement plan, because there's a real advantage when you retire. You can convert some of that to capital gains, mm-hmm. which you and I have talked about on the show. So having some company stock in a retirement plan makes sense. Having it all in company stock, that is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to be over invested into one area.
Yeah.
You know, ask anybody about Bear Stearns.
Yep, exactly. Well, on the Tax Investigator today, we will only talk about one information item, and that is the Oregon Department of Revenue has come out with the amount of the state tax kicker, and unfortunately, an initial email went out from them with an incorrect percentage. So if you're thinking it's 6.3%, unfortunately, the news is a little worse. It's actually 5.6% of your 2016 tax liability. So when you do your 2017 taxes, you will get a credit of 5.6%.
If you're an Oregon resident.
If you're an Oregon resident. I know we've got national listeners, but just wanted to get that out there, make sure people were looking at the right
you
amount.
You mean, I thought it said 62.3, so I was thinking hallelujah.
Yeah, no.
Oh, well.
Chuck, you have to pay some tax to get some back.
I see. There you go. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's all I've got.
You know, Kevin, this comes to mind something that you and I need to talk about on the air. One of these shows, we're going to talk about K-1s. And the difficulty that sometimes financial planners never tell clients when they're selling them these products, how darn difficult they are. They are a pain in the keister.
Absolutely. And we've got some good information to cover on that next week.
Yep, we're going to go over that. I think we do a whole show on that.
Yeah.
Listen, folks, if you've got a question, you've got a concern, send me an email, Chuck at pfgwm.com. Kevin, what's your email?
Well, let's go to our website, baker-colson.com.
We'll be back next Saturday with more exciting talk. Don't hesitate to miss the show. Don't miss the show.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
Hi. I'm Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and co-host of the radio program Investing Simplified. I recently left the Warren Allen Law Firm to open my own office. Professional and personable service have always been the hallmarks of my practice. I believe that this move will allow me to spend more time with my clients. For more than 37 years, it has been my privilege to assist clients with practical estate planning with wills, trusts, powers of attorney, advance directives, and other documents so that they may have peace of mind knowing that their affairs are in order. When probate becomes necessary, emotions of family members may become fragile. Having an experienced attorney that can empathize with what the client is going through makes the process much easier. My new office is conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, just across from Mall 205, and my phone number is 971-229-0585. That's 971-229-0585.
Kilmeade, Dana, Hannity, Levin, Lars, Ingram. This is Portland's right place to talk. Freedom 970. KUFO AM. Portland.